Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/trygreenlight. That's greenlight.com/trygreenlight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Hopeful Environmentalists. Today, we are talking about something that I've been asked many, many times. So we are going to be talking about the difference between environmental science, environmental policy, and environmental studies, because those are all different things, and while they have, like, obviously they're all about the environment, right? They all have their own little niches. So we're going to talk about that because I was confused about it. I still am with certain aspects of things, but I definitely have a better understanding now. So first, if anyone doesn't know, right now I'm getting my master's in environmental science and policy. I am focused on the science part because you get to pick like your focus, but I'm kind of starting to really fall in love with policy because I would say more of the advocacy route I'm falling in love with, so that kind of goes more with policy, but I really enjoy having my science background, but I'll dive into that more into the episode. I got my Bachelor's of Arts in Environmental Studies, so I have all three of them. All three of the things we're going to talk about today, I have all of those experiences. And then I have a certificate in Environmental Conservation and a minor in Sustainability. So again, like I said, kind of a mixture of everything I have going on. So first, let's talk about environmental science. I also want to say that there's college tracks and non-college tracks. I think for most of them, obviously, the college track is probably the best way to go, but I do want to acknowledge that not everybody has the ability to go to college, so I wanted to kind of give a little bit of both. I don't really have the expertise in the non-college route, but I did a little bit of research, and I know some people as well, so I'll definitely give some tips on that. So for environmental science, going the college route, most schools will require Chem 1, Chem 2, and Orgo. Some will even like say Orgo 1 and Orgo 2, and Orgo is organic chem, if anyone doesn't know. That is a lot of chemistry for me. That was way too much. I originally started on the environmental science for my bachelor's. I had started on that track. And then when I was like, I started chem and I started bio one. And I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot do this. Like for bio one, I literally left the first day. Not because I'm not capable, just because it was so much. And I understand it's a science, so it's going to be heavily focused on science, but that is too much to me. For me, it was just too much. I don't know if I said it as well, but Bio 1 and Bio 2, which is biology, you're also going to need physics, you're going to need statistics. So it is very science heavy. And I know people are going to laugh at me and say, obviously, Taylor, it's science heavy. It is a science degree, right? But to me, that was just too much. It was just too much for me. But you might be asking now, well, didn't you say you're doing environmental science and policy? Yes, I am. And the requirements for my program, since it's more of research-based science, and it's a new program, I didn't need all of those Chem 1, Chem 2, Orgo 1, Orgo 2, Bio 1, and Bio 2, right? I didn't need all of that. I was able to do some more learning experience type stuff, experiential learning in this master's program. And it has helped me so much because everything I'm focused on is field work. Well, was field work, right? So it wasn't really important for me to get all those sciences. And some people might look down on that, and I don't really care. If I know what I'm talking about, I don't really care. There's always more to learn, obviously, but to gatekeep this science and say, oh, you need a PhD, you need all this science and all this stuff, to me, in my personal opinion, I think that's not right. I think there's some people who just don't learn that way. I don't learn. I never was good at the schoolwork side of chem, bio, physics, stats, right? I was never good at that kind of stuff, but I'm very intelligent. So I just don't like how it kind of feels like it's being gatekept. So gatekept, is that the word? Gatekept? It's being gatekept? I'm just going to go with that, okay? You know what I mean. Okay, I went back and looked it up. Gatekept is a word, okay? I just want to say that. This is like a day later and I'm editing this and it is. So I just want to put that in there. So for the job portion now, there's so many jobs that you can get, and I'm just going to go over a few that I know of that you can get. So you can be an environmental consultant, and basically that is, I mean, there's tons of different things that you can work for that. You can work private sector, you can work for the government, there's all different things, right? So for more of the private sector and for a business or something, you're going to go in, you're going to give your environmental expertise on certain things. So if they want to build a building, you're going to go in and you're going to say, well, here's how we can minimize environmental impact, here's what's going on there. So it's a really important job, right? So next one is you can go on the environmental engineer track, since now you have all of this science and you have all this bio experience. I'm not really sure, again, on the specifics of getting into environmental engineering, because I didn't do it. I do think it's really cool, though, for environmental engineering and things like that, that you can start to learn, like, the geoengineering. And so many people, it's kind of split whether people like it or don't, because geoengineering is things, for people who don't know what geoengineering is, it's basically, like, the carbon capture technology and all that stuff. And that's so highly debated right now, because some people are like, well, it's not, we it's so expensive, we don't know if it's gonna work, we don't know that, right? So there's so many things we don't know yet, but I also think it's good to be trying new things, and I don't think that should be in replacement of stopping fossil fuels, because that's also another argument. They're saying, well, big companies are just gonna say, look, we capture all this carbon, but you're also releasing it, right? So wanting to learn how to balance it and how to kind of use this research, that's why we need more environmental engineers, use this research to be able to bring that out into the field and to try to not just allow people to keep polluting, but trying to make it something to take what we have out of the air already and to stop further pollution. That was a lot of words. Biologist is another one you could do. You could go just do a biology degree, right? But I think for the environmental science portion of it, it's cool because you kind of have a different background now. So again, they're kind of like similar to wildlife bio. If you're taking wildlife courses in college, obviously you're not going to go out and be like a wolf biologist your first day, but you have these different experiences that you can bring to the biology world. You can also be an environmental science teacher or an educator. And I'm not really sure the requirements for becoming a teacher. I know you need for high school and elementary school and all these things, you need a teaching degree as well. But now you have that expertise if you went and did another, like a master's program or something for education. So now you have that environmental science background. You could also be a professor. And if you're a professor, you don't need an education degree. So you can just literally just go into the world and be a professor. Obviously, it's a very competitive degree, or very competitive job. So when I say just go out and be a professor, it's really hard. I've applied to professor jobs and I have not even heard back. Again, a lot of those jobs, they look for PhD people, but not all of them. So keep your eyes peeled for that. You can be an environmental chemist, which is kind of just chemistry in the lab. That's lab work kind of stuff. You can be an environmental scientist. Whoa, with an environmental science degree, you can be an environmental scientist. Who would have thought? I don't know why that wasn't my first one. It's like the second to last one I put on here, which is really weird. Whatever. But for an environmental scientist, it's kind of just, there's not really one role for that. There's so many different types. And you can listen to one of my previous episodes. Let me just go back and look real quick. Okay, so I went back. It's episode 11. Do you have what it takes to be an environmental scientist? So you can go back and listen to that, of what kind of what environmental science, scientists do, what they are, all that kind of stuff. So you can go back and listen to that episode. But again, it's really just, they do a bunch of different things. And that could be field work. You can come back and be in the lab. And field work, I mean, like testing things and seeing pollution levels. So like water testing, water quality. I'm sure they all have different names, but those are all kind of under the environmental scientist umbrella. And then another one I put on here, which I really like, because I always wanted to be an ecologist, and that really looks at how humans impact ecosystems and the environment and stuff like that. So that one's cool. Kind of a lot of these things are in a big umbrella, right? As an environmental scientist, a lot of these are in under that. So it's, you can do a lot with an environmental science degree. And again, this is just a small list of the many things you can do. I would also say that environmental science is lab and field heavy. And what I mean by lab and field heavy is you can either be doing a lot of lab work or you're going to be in the field. And it really depends the path you choose. So again, if you do like biology and wildlife biology, you're going to be out in the field a lot. Or if you end up going the PhD track, you're going to be doing, not only are you going to be doing the lab side, but you're going to be in the field, and then you're also going to be doing write-ups. So it kind of depends what you want to do and where you want to take yourself. And if you like writing and you like scientific writing and stuff like that, for me, I love environmental science. I love the field work. But when you put me in the lab, I am ready to like pull my eyeballs out, right? Like I can't do it. I don't like the lab. I don't like scientific writing. I don't think, for me, in my opinion, again, I'm not trying to get on anybody's bad side here, but I don't like how certain scientific papers are written because I don't feel like it actually makes a difference because nobody can understand it. Other scientists can, and it can get you in journals and stuff like that, but it doesn't really help the issue. And that's also another problem. Environmental science, environmental policy, people aren't really combining those two things. And that's what we need, scientific communication. We need that communication. And that's why I went for the environmental science and policy degree, to learn how to communicate the science. So that's another route you can go on, right? So now we're gonna talk about the non-college route in environmental science. So to be honest, it is a little bit harder to find higher paying jobs without a college degree, but like I said before, obviously also paying for college isn't the most economical for everybody. Economical? What am I saying? Financial? It's been a long day, everybody. I'm sorry. I'm preparing for climate week next week, so my brain is everywhere. So if I don't make sense with something, give me a slide. Give me a little bit of a slide, okay? But like I said, it's not always accessible to, that's the word. There we go. It's not always accessible to everybody, right? So I want to acknowledge that. Some things that you can do, you can get some skills, environmental skills, by reaching out to professors or master's students and PhD students who need a helping hand. You can find a lot of those on job boards. One that I use is the Texas A&M, A&M, I don't know how to pronounce that. It's a university. You can use their wildlife job board and you can find stuff. It is very low paying, but it will help you get experience. Another thing, some jobs now that you can do, you can be an environmental technician, which some you need a degree for, some, you know, lower down, you'll get paid less, but you would be doing lab work and things like that. So testing water, testing air quality and things like that. You can be a recycling worker and work in a recycling facility, a farm worker. I worked in a farm. I loved working in a farm, but it depends what you're doing. I did the animal side. There's all different types of farming. Wind turbine technician, which actually can be paying pretty good, and it's an up-and-coming thing because renewable energy is kind of starting to take over fossil fuel energy. So I actually read something that renewable energy workers have now, or renewable energy is employing more people now than fossil fuel energy, which is really cool. So super cool that that's happening. You can also be a solar installer, kind of goes under the renewable energy jobs. And there are also some entry-level work as environmental scientists, but the degree will help you get to a higher level. So if you wanted to start out with these things and like then you realize you really like it, and maybe you saved up a little money, or maybe even your job will offer some college remission or tuition reimbursement training, stuff like that. I don't know. Some jobs do that. There you go. Perfect way to get some classes in and try to get a degree. Okay, so that's it for the for the science. Wow, I really cannot speak today, can I? But whatever. Next is policy. So I never was interested in policy, but here I am today in a policy degree. So I think that's really funny because, like I said again, I never thought I would be in the policy realm at all. So for the college portion of policy, you're going to be focused on, and your courses are going to be focused on laws, bills, all that type of stuff, right? You're going to be looking at how a bill becomes a law. Our favorite friend, what's that thing? There's like a, I'm just a bill on Capitol. Okay, I'm not singing. But you know, if you know that, if you know what I'm talking about, it's a YouTube video of like a little animated bill showing how the process works. It's really cute. Look it up. I don't even know the name of it. I'm telling you to look up something I didn't even tell you the name for. Okay, I looked it up. If you look up on YouTube, Schoolhouse Rock, I'm Just a Bill. That's what you want to look up. And it's a really cute, funny little, just shows you how the process works, right? Of how a bill becomes a law. The best way I can describe policy and environmental policy is you're working to fix the issues that arise from what the environmental scientists figure out or what they're researching, right? So if they find all these lower income communities in the Bronx are being impacted by air quality, the scientists are the ones who figure that out. The policymakers are the ones who try to get a law passed, right? I'm trying to give you like a little taste of it. I'm not going to go through everything, obviously. They're trying to fix the problem. The environmental scientists are just bringing up where the problem's arising, what's happening. And again, you don't need to be a science degree for that. If you're the one being impacted in that community, you obviously know as well. I'm just trying to give you like the easiest way to put it in your head how the science and policy work and how they work together and how they also are different. So that's my best way of describing environmental policy. And some of the jobs, it's also really hard to pinpoint jobs in this field because in environmental policy, you can do so much, right? You can be a policy analyst, which I have a friend who's doing that. She loves it. You're set up to go the law route, so you can go to law school. It'll set you up for being prepared for that. You can work for many different types of organizations. You can work local, you can work state, you can work federal, right? So you can do all these things. EPA hires a lot of people for policy type work. You can also go the nonprofit route. Nonprofits are always hiring for people who have policy experience for a variety of different roles. It's impossible to sit here and tell you all of them. It's policy kind of just, you can do so much with it. You can also be an environmental planner, there is an environmental planner degree or something along the lines of that. So if you're set on doing that, you might want to go for that degree instead of environmental policy. But if you're not sure yet, you can kind of get entry-level jobs. I've heard that you can get entry-level jobs. Don't quote me on that. Some places will ask you for that degree, that planning degree, but that is an option if you do policy and down the line you want to change. And then a job that I found, I looked up on LinkedIn, environmental policy, and like a job that came up was the policy analyst and environmental protection specialist for the federal government. So those are kind of just a different variety of things you can do with your policy degree. Again, there is so many things you can do in the policy realm. So now we're kind of discussing the non-policy route, the non-college route for policy. For me, I really don't have any experience in this one of knowing what kind of jobs there are with no college. You can do advocacy work, which you don't always need a degree for. Again, working for a nonprofit. You can work for local boards and things like that. You can also register to be a lobbyist. I don't really know, again, payment for those types of jobs and those experiences, but those are all the things I can really think of right now. If anyone has any recommendations, please feel free to drop them in the comments. so other people who are listening, other fans and supporters of this podcast can go back and see these other jobs that I left out. Okay, and last but not least, environmental studies. So environmental studies is kind of hard to pinpoint as one definition, but basically it's kind of looking at the intersections between biology and all your other different types of sciences, so wildlife biology, ecology, things like that. And you can do so many different things with an environmental studies degree, and so many people actually end up when you do environmental studies, will go for another degree like your science or your policy. So it kind of is just like your beginner level thing, and that's what I did. It kind of set me up for a variety of different career paths like science and policy. You can do so many different jobs. You can be a naturalist, which is what I did, right? I was a naturalist at a small preserve, and you can work your way up through there and be a preserve manager and stuff like that. So you can work your way up as being a naturalist and things like that. Other jobs, really, again, like I said, you can do so much. You can be in a lab, again, very low level. My environmental studies degree required an environmental chem course, so that was what would be helpful to get a lab degree, but again, low level. Other things you can do is like working in a park or being, like I said, a naturalist or an environmental educator and teaching that as a professor. You can also work for a variety of different like governments, like state, local, federal. There's just a variety of different jobs. Again, studies, science, and policy are all so closely related. It's just there are different like things needed for certain positions. So certain positions, like for science, might say, no, you need at least like 2 courses in chemistry for this degree or for this job. Policy might say you need experience with lobbying or stuff like that, and you'll kind of get that with your policy degree. And then environmental studies, how I think of it, is kind of just encompasses all those things and gives you a little taste of each. So you won't go out into the world and get a top environmental job in the science field, but you also wouldn't do that really if you got the environmental science degree. You'd probably go a little bit higher, but environmental studies kind of gives you a little bit of both. So I knew since I got college and I'm getting college for free, I was lucky enough and fortunate enough to be able to know that I could get my environmental studies degree and then go off to get another degree in either science or policy. And again, I was lucky enough to find the place I'm going to have science and policy as one mixed combined degree. So that's really all I have for these different types of jobs and things that you can do within environmental studies, science, and policy. Again, there are so many things you can do, and it's limitless. Really, it is limitless. Getting one of your degrees or just going right into the field, you can do so much. Again, like I said, though, you can do more with a degree, but it's not accessible to everybody. So if you can't get a degree, these are some of the other options that you can do to get involved in the environmental community. There's also things like, we didn't cover so many jobs. Like you can be a writer, you can be an environmental writer. You can go and work for like a news channel and talk about it there. You can do what I'm starting to do is get into content creation and advocacy. So there are so many different things that you can do that will sometimes not generate that much money. But you can work at it and work at it and work at it and grow it. So that's what I'm trying to do with my podcast. That's what I'm trying to do with my other Instagram, @Taylor's_nature. There was an S because someone had taken it without the S, so it's Taylor's plural, which is weird, I know. But there's so many different things you can do, and I really hope that you open your eyes, this opened your eyes to all of the different jobs, and you don't go in saying, I can only do this, this, and this. There are so many different things you can do. And as somebody who's had a variety of different jobs, like I've worked field work, I've worked heavy science, I've worked as a naturalist and educator, and now I have a job working as kind of doing policy and outreach and advocacy. So I've had all of these jobs, right? I have all these different experiences, and I got this advocacy policy job without really having policy and advocacy skills, job skills. I haven't had those job skills. So there's so many different things you can do. There's so many opportunities. There's so many different job boards, like Green Jobs Board, on Instagram. They're a newer account and they're super amazing. I find a lot of opportunities through them and I suggest you go there as well. And there are so many different job boards. There's a wildlife job board, there's a conservation job board, there's Facebook groups you can join, LinkedIn, Indeed, all great places to find jobs and to look at different requirements. Because you want to just go in and say, okay, this is the requirement for this one. And, you know, one environmental scientist position might say you need this and another one might not, right? So don't get too, like, bent up about, don't get too bent up about seeing one thing and saying, oh, I can't do that because I don't have this. Look at a different company or a different organization or a different agency, right? So don't get too bent up on that. I hope this was helpful, and always remember to stay hopeful and create positive change.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.